Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. We're a church family in North Carolina with a vision for people to experience the grace of Jesus, be filled with the Father's love, and to release the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's this week's message from Mooresville.
Well, thank you, Lord. It's Easter, so we give an Easter message. Yes. Y'all going to help me or not? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to... Wow, I had like 10... I am just struggling with this preaching business, y'all. I have like too many messages. I gave him a book to translate. Like, gosh, I've given him... I looked at it this morning like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? I can't do all this. I'll do what I can. Amen? Yeah, I could do part two, maybe. But I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, everybody say being saved, it's the power of God. And so we're people that really need to embrace the power of God. And I'm probably preaching to the choir to most of you this morning, but Paul himself said in Philippians 3:10 that I might know him, amen, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you hear that? That I might know him, relationship, community with the Lord, abiding with the Lord, but also the power of his resurrection. Amen. We don't want to be people that celebrate, have a great celebration about the resurrection, but not live it, right? There's a power that God has put us. He also prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 that we would know by experience. This is 1:18-19, somewhere in there. Know by experience the exceeding. This is New King James Version, because that's the one I used to learn this from. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us. Notice he said exceeding greatness. He didn't just say great, exceeding greatness. He was putting everything he could in there to really get us to know that God has got this amazing power. Amen? There's another prayer in Ephesians where Paul says that we would know out of the riches of his glory, out of the riches of his glory, that we might be strengthened with power in our inner man. That's in Ephesians 3. I'm thinking, well, how rich is God in glory? I mean, that when you think about it, like, he's got to be pretty rich in glory. Listen, we haven't experienced the glory of God like God wants us to experience it. There's a day of glory coming. You know, we've read about it in the Bible, right? We read about it in the Old Testament where the priests couldn't even minister in the first temple when they dedicated because the glory came in and nobody could even go in there. It was such a power. We read about how Moses, the Lord said, I can't let you see my face because it would destroy you. And he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. This is our inheritance in the Lord. And the Lord passed by him. And Moses saw the Lord's backside as the Lord walked by. Wouldn't that be amazing to see that with your own eyes? And the Bible says that Moses' face radiate the glory of God, the glory God on him. And, you know, it was a fading glory, but we in the New Testament have this internal glory that's been deposited in us. And the Lord really is going to release that glory out of the church one day. I really believe that. That's what I'm holding out for, that we would have that. But, you know, there's a saying that says, and this is a true statement, because and this verse says it, that nothing happens in the kingdom unless it's spoken. There has to be a speaking. And that's what it says right here. You know, the word of the cross, the spoken word, the voice of the cross releases something. It releases a power into our life. So it can't just be buried down inside. It can't just be a thought. It has to come up out of us, out of our spirit. And so I'm sure you've heard messages in the past about the seven last words of Jesus, which are powerful. I'm fascinated with stuff like that. Like the seven, well, the first words out of Jesus' mouth is interesting to me. That's recorded, you know, when he was a little boy. Or the first message that Jesus preached. or the first conversation that he had. All that's in the Bible. And the last thing he said, there's seven things that he said. And I actually did something cool trying to copy David Horowitz, said one day I could be like him. And I made a slide, okay? Now, if you're an aspiring preacher, I'm giving you some really great information that you could do actually seven messages. You could do a series on this. This would be a really good series. But these are the seven things. I'm just going to run through them. Are y'all good? Yeah. I'm going to run through them real quickly because these are impacting. Because we're in a time, I believe this with all my heart. I just so hunger in my heart to hear God in a new way. To hear his voice in a fresh way. In a way that maybe I haven't experienced it in the past. There's so many Bible verses about the voice of God. You know, I love what John says in Revelation. His voice is like the sound of many waters. Meaning there's different manifestations of God's voice that he released. There's a psalm that says his voice causes the deer to give birth. That's powerful, right? Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff it says. It's just amazing. John also said, out of Jesus' mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. See, all that kind of speaks of the Lord's words, him speaking. So when he was on the cross, these things he said were super impacting. And so the first one is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to look at this. Yes, good job, Oliver. Everybody thank Oliver. He did this for me. I'm not no PowerPoint preacher. I can promise you that. Like I said, I did this for you, really, to help. Just so I'm going to run through it. So number one, what Jesus was saying is forgiveness is the key to life. It's a key to our relationship with the Lord. It's a key to you and I's personal holiness. It's a key to us, our wholeness. No one is going to be healthy as a human being without forgiveness. You can't have a healthy marriage. You can't have a healthy relationship with your children, okay, with each other. Forgiveness is a part of life. And that's one of the things that Jesus was trying to communicate. One of the last things he was telling us is learn forgiveness. Allow forgiveness to work in your life. Isn't that beautiful? And then the next thing he said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that speaks of answered prayer, because that was one of the thieves that was crucified with Jesus that asked the Lord to allow him to be a part of his kingdom. So the Lord wants us to know, one of the things he left, the last words was, I answer prayer. We may not believe he answers prayer sometimes. I know sometimes we don't feel like he does. Sometimes it seems like he doesn't answer our prayers. Sometimes they're silent. Sometimes it doesn't seem like things work out. But over the long haul, there's an answer. Over the long haul, you'll see even his times of silence or his no's or whatever it may be, your disappointments, you will see the wisdom of God. If you will just keep going with him. Just keep going with him. Listen, I've had serious disappointments. I've had many prayers that were not answered. I was crushed by. But down the road, I saw the wisdom of God and was thankful. Like, my gosh, thank you for not doing that. It was so important to me, I thought it would help me in some way. But in the end, it would have hurt me, because he's a wise father. The next one is, woman, behold your son. And he spoke to John, behold your mother. And so what he was telling us is family is important. Our families, our human biological families, our mamas and daddies, our brothers and sisters, they're important to God. Okay? They are vital to God. And he wants us to keep our relationships with our family and be a healing to our family, to speak life to our family, and to take care of our family. Like, he was committing his mom's well-being into John the apostle's life. That's huge. This man's dying. This was important to him, to make sure his mom was taken care of. If it's important to him, Lord, let it be important to us about our families. Next one was, I'm thirsty. And I believe that speaks more of a spiritual desire than anything else. As he was on that cross, as he was being tortured in that horrible moment, that he still had this spiritual thirst in him. That's a key to us when we're going through difficult times, when we feel tragedy at our doorsteps, you know, is asking the Lord, help me through this, you know, crying out to God, and asking Him to help our spiritual hunger, help the fire in us not to go out. Are you hearing what I'm talking about to you? Because so many people allow the fire to be quenched in them when they're going through tragedy. You might not be the most boisterous person around, but I'm talking about on a personal, real level with the Lord and being faithful to Him in that moment. This is another one that was a perplexing one for many years, but my God, why have you forsaken me? And so number one, this is the only instance in the New Testament where Jesus, when He was directly addressing God, is when He addressed Him as God instead of Father. Isn't that interesting? Okay, and it seems on the surface that God did forsake Jesus, but really He didn't. He didn't forsake Jesus. What Jesus did, just like He did as coming as a man, He entered into the darkness of humanity. He felt what we feel. There's probably not, if you're going to follow the Lord very long, you're going to have those moments when you don't feel God. You might even feel abandoned by God at times. You might feel like He's left you hanging out to dry at times. Many of us have. I think we probably all, I mean, I have. There's been time when I just felt abandoned by the Lord and He wasn't there for me. Jesus was experiencing what we experienced. That's what He was showing us, that I know what you feel. I know that feeling to feel like God has not answered you and He's left you in your hour of biggest need. But he hasn't. It's beautiful it didn't stop there. And by the way, you can go read that psalm that Jesus quoted out, and it comes to a beautiful answer. The next one is, it's finished. And so Jesus, this is beautiful. Jesus did not leave any unfinished business on this earth as a man walking on this earth. He completed everything that the Father had asked Him to do. He fulfilled His mission. He fulfilled the Father's dream for sending His Son. And that's why He could say, it's finished. That part of the program's done with. We're moving on. And then the last one is, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. And that goes back, the first thing that Jesus said, the first one is Father. That's the first word that came out of His mouth. And the last phrase He used before He died was Father, showing us that I'm gifting you guys with a relationship with the Father. Isn't that beautiful? That's what this whole thing was. I'm gifting you this, that you can have this same relationship with the Father that I have. I think that's amazing, isn't it? So, let's see. Oh, this is amazing. How many people think about dying? Do anybody in this room think about dying? I've thought about it, okay? I've thought about what will it be like? You know, the older you get, that kind of becomes more of a looming thought. Like, I am going to die one day. And I'm not going to live forever. You know, it's appointed. Everybody's going to get a chance to die, even Elijah and Enoch. And they're the only two people in the Bible that says they didn't die. They will be, I believe, the two witnesses. They'll come back and be the two witnesses. Like, you get your turn like everybody else, guys. They're going to kill you. Yeah, that's just what I believe. Yeah, come on. But this is a beautiful way. I was saying, Lord, when I was saying about this, maybe, Lord, when I'm on my deathbed, maybe give me the strength to have that heart to say, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. Wouldn't that be a beautiful last words out of Your mouth? Wouldn't it be? I mean, think about it. I mean, that would be amazing to be able to have that and truly be able to say it from your heart. I pray that we'd all have that when our time on this earth expires, when it's time for us to go be with the Lord, be with the Father. So it really kind of reveals to us how we can die well. I think that's what it reveals. Am I talking to anybody? Well, I'm hoping you're not going to die. Please don't die. You know, I don't want you to die. Not yet. You know, wait after I'm dead, and then you can die, and then somebody else can take care of all the details. Well, I'm just messing with you, but I wanted to read this. This is kind of an important thought. I'm going back to it is finished. I was thinking about this. Let me read Acts 1:1 to you. I'm moving on from this. I'm doing really good on time. I'm doing good. On time, that's all I'm going to say. The first account I composed, Theopolis, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. So Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Acts. In Luke's mind, they were the Acts is a continuation of the Gospels, except for instead of Jesus doing the works in His human body, now it has shifted to the church. You see, when Jesus said, "It's finished," he didn't say, "I'm finished." Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I finished the work that I was to do as a man on this earth, but I'm not finished doing my work. Now, that should make everybody in this room happy. I mean, because I'm thinking, if he's finished with me, then he didn't do a good job. Because I'm still a mess. I'm still getting yelled at by Becky, and I'm still getting cross-eyed looks from people, and deservingly. And the Lord has not finished his work in the world, except for now it's shifted away from him walking on this earth to do the works to you and I. Are you with me on that? It's all that Jesus began to do. The work of the cross is absolutely finished. There's nothing else to be done, okay, on that level. But there's a lot to be done to bring that message to ourselves and to each other and to the world. It's the truth. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that really is the truth. Okay. Now I'm going to shift over to Hebrews 12, and I'm going to read something, and you think, well, that don't really line up, but it does. Trust me. Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. These are the seven voices of the kingdom of heaven. I just gave you seven voices of Jesus from the cross. Now I'm going to give you seven voices from the kingdom of heaven. And I'm kind of getting in the middle of something just to save time, but the writer of Hebrews was comparing Mount Sinai with Mount Zion, the law, the old, with the new, the old covenant with the new covenant. That's really what he was comparing. You know, when they had to go to this mountain that was explosive and blowing up like a volcano, and everybody was afraid, and you can't touch it. I mean, if you go back and read all that, you can't touch, don't touch it, it'll kill you. You'll die if you touch this mountain. That was where the Lord was, okay? But now, we're in a different time. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And to Jesus, this is why I read all this really, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Isn't that powerful? So this, what here it is. Jesus said in the Gospels when he first started preaching, he said, you know, you need to repent because the kingdom is right here at hand. It's here. It has come. And these are at least seven things that he was talking about that are here today. Here they are. There's a city. There's a new Jerusalem that Jesus says is right here at hand. We can't see it yet. We maybe can't feel it yet. Occasionally we might experience it. He says there's an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. And I know people in this room have had experiences with angels. If you haven't, you should tell that angel that the Lord's assigned to you, like, listen, come on, get with the program. Okay? I mean, I need you to be active in my life. He's probably going to tell you, you're dumb. I am active. If it wasn't for me, your hide would be cooked. I'm not going to go in and tell you some experiences I have with angels, but I've had some pretty powerful experiences with angels. For them to let me know, I'm with you. I'm here. The general assembly and church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? So everybody who hates church, you've messed up. It's a mistake. It's a terrible mistake. Did you know in the United States of America, church attendance is at an all-time low in the United States? And even the black church, which has traditionally always had a better attendance than white churches or other kind of churches, they're starting to see decline now. So, well, I'm thinking that they may be a silver lining in that cloud, because God may be fixing to bring forth something out of what we consider despair. The Lord might say, no, I got a plan in all this. Well, I'm just saying that. God, the judge of all. God is a judge, y'all. Y'all, don't fool yourself. Don't chalk yourself out of that. He is the judge of all. Not just a few people, not just of the devil, not just of bad people. He judges everything because he's the judge. The spirits of the righteous made perfect, That would be like the great cloud of witnesses. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks. Wow, the sprinkled blood that speaks. Well, if you read Hebrews, what you'll find out is that it says that Christ took his blood. This is crazy, y'all. He took his blood, literally, his real human being blood that he bled on the cross. He took some up into heaven and sprinkled the throne. It says the blood is in heaven. And the blood is always, we talk about pleading the blood. I believe in pleading the blood. That's a legal term, like I'm pleading the fifth. I'm not going to tell you because there's a law that says I don't have to. That's what, we can plead the blood. But you know what? The blood is always in heaven. There's a mercy seat. The throne of God, they call it the throne of grace. That's what he called, that we might find what? Mercy and grace for help in time of need. We can take our loved ones before that place and say, I'm putting them on the mercy seat. Are y'all talking? Am I talking to anybody? We can put them on the mercy seat. We can say to people, we can declare people's names and say, the blood on them. The mercy. I'm bringing them to the mercy seat, where they can receive the thing that they need. They can receive the healing. They can receive whatever God has. See, there's power in this. And that's how we tap into the power, the resurrection power, as we begin to believe these things and realize this is the truth of the Bible. Read Hebrews. Start and read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. It'll explain this very well to you. So the blood is continually speaking in heaven. It's continually speaking. Whether we speak it or not, the blood of Jesus is declaring something in heaven. Amen. For us. Okay, so here's some things that the blood of Jesus speaks. There's seven voices of Jesus' blood in the Bible, at least. Are y'all following this? Y'all are not helping me. Come on, y'all. I am still doing pretty good, though. I said I'm going to go fast in this. Number one, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweats blood. Right, that refers to help and strength when we're troubled, tempted, fearful, or anxious in this life. You hear me? Yeah. Anybody getting this? When we're in those situations, we're worrisome, those drops of blood that Jesus sweat was for that, to help us with that, to cover us with that. The Romans, obviously we know this, and the Romans beat his back with 39 stripes, and that, of course, by his stripes we were healed. That's what that's speaking of, and we can always plead that blood. We can always go to the Lord for that, and we always should. It says in Isaiah 56, or 50, verse 6, they ripped his beard out of his face. He bled in his face, and to me, your face speaks of your identity, who you are. And see, the blood has something to say about your identity. That's what I was talking about earlier. You know, the blood has this power over your identity to help you be your identity. I think this is pretty good stuff myself, y'all. Y'all can sit on your board if you want to. To me, this is life. You know what this does for me? When I feel like I'm not hearing God's voice, I can always go to this because this continually speaks. This is something that's talking all the time in heaven. You know, and we can begin to tap in that, which helps us to hear God on a more subjective level. Okay, of course, his head, the crown of thorns, that's a sound mind, psychological and mental wholeness, and overcoming the curse on this that's on this world, because there's a curse operating on this world. And that crown of thorn enables us, because in the Old Testament or in the Genesis, when God proclaimed that you're going to have to toil, right? And there were going to be thorns. Jesus came to deal with that in our life. It doesn't mean we don't work, but there's a difference between toil and working, y'all. A big difference. A whole big difference. And God wants us to work. He wants us to provide and take care of things, but he doesn't want to have to toil in life where we're just struggling constantly and just having to battle up along, like pushing a big boulder up a hill. His hands were nailed to the cross, and that speaks of our work. Our hands, our work in life. His feet were nailed to the cross, and that speaks of our walk in life. See, the blood is on all of this. I was watching this archaeological YouTube, where they found a guy who was crucified. They found some of his remains. They found about a foot of his leg down to a thing, and the spike, this spike was that long, driven through that part between his heel and ankle is where, you know, they put them together and they're driving through it. And they actually found the remains of somebody who had been crucified that showed how damaging that and how painful that would be. Isn't that something? But the Lord allowed that so we could have a walk here. We could walk through this life in victory. I mean, that's because that's what the blood does for us. I just think that's amazing to me that God has covered every part of our life. And he has not looked at us and not made, has an answer for everything. And, of course, the piercing of his side, which I gave you a kind of a message the other day about the Holy Spirit river because of the water. But also it speaks of relationships. The person next to your side, the person that's close to you, that God has an answer for relationships with the blood. And it also speaks to the church because the church was born out of his side. That's when the church was born. Like I say, if you're throwing the church to the dogs, that ain't a good thought. All right. Thank you, Lord. Did I get through that fast enough? Well, guess what? It's not done yet. There's also this thing called the voice of the resurrection. See, all this happened before the resurrection. It just keeps getting better. The problem is there's more than seven things. I was going to do seven, and I thought, I give. I can't do seven, but I am going to do this one little thing. I'm going to get done early, but I want to. This is in John 20, verse 15 through 17. Y'all, this is beautiful, y'all. Of course, this is the garden tomb area, and, you know, just setting it up. And this, I just love this. This is so powerful to me because when I first became a believer, I was actually baptized on Easter Sunday. It was special to me. That's one of my special things that happened to me before I realized that God had so much more for me. I felt special that day. Like, well, I'm getting baptized on this very special day. This is really cool. We didn't do it that morning. We were going to do it that morning, but the lake was frozen over, so the pastor had mercy and said, we'll do it this afternoon. But it was really special. But he preached this message, man, that just out of these verses, you know, it's like sometimes God speaks to you and it feels so impacting you, but you don't really understand it. You don't really get it. You know what I'm talking about? But later down the road in life, you realize something was put into you at that moment. Something was released to you and that it grew in you. It was in there. It was like that seed that was planted down there and found. I don't know how it found good soil in my heart at that moment because I was a pretty rough Christian. Y'all would not have liked me. Becky did, though. But I was clever. I hid the dark side from her. I was able to keep her knowing how terrible I was. I was bad, no doubt. But she helped me. Her and the Holy Spirit, they really worked me over. Yeah, they still are, actually. Yeah. You know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't, he's always got Becky to back him up. You know what Becky told me this morning, y'all? This is truthful, okay? This is what she told me. I said, oh, so you're wearing white? She said, I'm wearing a jacket. I said, well, which jacket? She said, something, you know, beige. She said, because I wore another color jacket last Easter. And I'm thinking, you can remember what you wore last Easter? I can't even remember what I wore last Friday. That's why when I wear shirts, if I wear a shirt to church, I put it in I have this order because I forget and just keep wearing the same shirt over and over. And so I have this order. Okay, I'm going to put it on the end. That means I can't wear it again. Because sometimes this guy one time said to me, Byron, do we need to take up an offering for you? I said, for what? He said, because you wear the same shirt every week. But actually, I didn't. I just wore a lot of blue shirts. I said, no, it's not the same. I figured that out. But I'm amazed at how people think different. Can remember a year, what you wore a year ago. Like, oh, my gosh. Well, that's the way women are, you know. They got better minds than men on some level. So Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? These are all very profound. These are the first words from Jesus. This is the Jesus that's resurrected. This is that Jesus has no longer chosen to allow his flesh to bind him to this earth. Now he can walk through walls if he wants to. You know, he's now fully, he's still human. Jesus is, listen, y'all, up in heaven is a human being on the throne. That's the thing we got to see about this whole deal. He didn't just become a spiritual being. When he resurrected, he stayed human. He stayed human and stayed God. And that's the goal for us. And the Bible says we will be like him when we see him face to face. God embraces our humanity to this day and loves our humanity. He doesn't reject our humanness. That's why he said, why are you weeping? Because he understood. He gave us tears to wash our hearts. God gave man tears. He gave us grief. He gave us mourning. Now listen, mourning and tears and all that can blind your heart if you let it go too far. If you let another narrative come into your mourning. If there's not hope in your mourning. Right? If you don't have this belief that out there somewhere there's a God who's going to answer all this for me. And there's a God who's going to help me get out of this dark place. But in the meantime, he has no issue with your mourning. Because he didn't say, look, you need to stop the crying and all that. No, let's knock it off. No, he just said, why? So she could explain to him. And then he also said, whom are you seeking? If you'll remember correct. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
If you'll remember correct, back in John chapter 1, when Jesus had his conversation with these disciples of John the Baptist who became his disciples, he said, what are you seeking? That's what he said to them. Oh, we want to know where you're staying. That's what they said. So you see the difference there. There's a what of God and there's a whom of God. You get that? Before the resurrection, they were seeking a what. After the resurrection, Jesus says, whom are you seeking? You see, here's the thing about this, y'all. The what of God can change, right? God's what, God, what God's doing, where God's even residing in a real way can change. But the who of God never changes. Are y'all getting that? That's key for our lives because we like Mary, this is what she did. She was clinging to Jesus. Well, of course she was clinging to Jesus. I would have grabbed him and held him as tight as I could. But he was saying, no. Listen, Mary, listen to me. This is a new time. This is a new day. Don't cling to how I was because something has shifted and I'm bringing something new into the world. I'm bringing the Holy Spirit on everybody. Everybody's getting the Holy Spirit. If they want the Holy Spirit, they can have the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, everybody can prophesy. Everybody can hear me talk. It's not just wherever he's at in that moment. Do y'all get that? Because that's so big. The what of God can end, but the who is forever. It says, well, I just said a lot there, right? I love that, thinking he was the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away. I mean, that's a heart, isn't it? But I, that phrase, thinking he was a gardener, is so powerful, y'all, because often God can come to us and we don't know he's come to us. Right? He can appear as a gardener. He can appear in many ways. And we don't recognize that there he is right there with us. The very person she was going after. And this woman's amazing. I mean, she's amazing. I love how The Chosen shows her. If you've ever watched that, they show her really good. They show her Nicodemus like amazing. I love how they show them. But she's just an amazing person, you know, and had been with the Lord and had experienced such a deliverance in her life and walked with him. But she didn't recognize him. And so there's going to be times in our life, y'all, where the resurrected Lord Jesus can show up somewhere and we don't even know he's there. You know? But what he did was, and sometimes I think our tears can blind us. I think our mourning can blind us at times if we let it go too far. But what he did is, when he spoke to her, he was really speaking a new identity to her. When he spoke, she recognized him. That's what I was saying earlier about this desire, at least, and I think there's other people in this room, I don't think it's just me, because I just have this hunger to hear God's voice. I have this desire, like, Lord, I don't feel like I hear you that much. I mean, I hear God a lot about a lot of things, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something like this. Only a few times in my life where I have felt like when I heard God, that it was like that, it gives birth to the deer kind of talk thing, where it really was super impacting to me. You know, and I think, you know, just like with us, we all have different tones and inflections of how we speak and how we talk, right? The Lord has that. You know, he can speak to us in dreams and visions. He can speak to us prophetically about other people. And I love all of that. I want to keep going after all that. But there's another time when the Lord speaks to us. You know, I hear people all the time saying, well, the Lord told me that. And I'm thinking, tell me about that. I want to know about that. I desperately want to know that because I want to hear God talk to me like that. You know, because I don't feel like lots of times I get that from the Lord. I get more see stuff, you know, and have to interpret what I'm seeing. But I do think we're coming in a time where people can begin to experience the voice of the Lord like she did. And it shifted everything in her. It changed her life. And so, you know, this is beautiful about women, y'all. The first woman, right, Eve, she kind of messed up, right? She, in a garden, you know, there's a song, In a Garden We Fell, In a Garden. Remember that song? It's a really great song. I don't remember all the words to it, but I remember that. So in a garden, Eve really participated in the downfall of humanity. She, not alone. Adam was there. I'm not saying it's all Eve's fault by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, where was he at when the devil was talking to her, right? Like, hey, bud, you're supposed to be the guy. I mean, dang snakes talking to your wife. You're just going to stand around and listen? I mean, come on. Grab that snake and sling him to the woods or something. You know. I mean, that's what men are supposed to be doing, right? They're supposed to be protectors. They're supposed to be servers. So you know, he shoulders blame. But I think it's interesting, you know, she did receive that from the enemy. But here, God used a woman to help bring the cure for what happened with it. Isn't that beautiful? So if you're a woman, you should say, hey, these scriptures belong to me. These are mine, because she went and told the apostles. They didn't know. She's the one that told them. He let her experience him before they got to experience him. Isn't that beautiful? And so that's how God works. See, God don't look at men, women thing. He looks at us as people. You know, he made us different, obviously. I mean, it was supposed to be, you know, thank God. I didn't, you know. I mean, I love Enoch, but I wouldn't want to marry him, right? I love Becky. I marry her. I like a girl, you know. So God made us all different, right? And there's a beauty in women. There's a beauty in men that God has created. But he let this woman redeem the image of women, because in that day, listen to this, in that day, women were not listened to. They were disregarded. If they would share something, they were automatically not believed because they were a female. But Jesus sobbed that. He says, that's over, because she's going to declare the word of the Lord. And when she declared it, there was some power on them words, because the Lord had sent her. Isn't that amazing? Well, this is another beautiful thing in here. This is what got me back as a young believer that Sunday morning. I can remember it. We had this guy, what was it, 25-year-old pastor. We were, you know, 21 or 22, whatever we were, and he's 25. But he felt like he was light years ahead of us spiritually. He was just a really gifted guy, could really teach the Bible. I mean, he just had this flow on him, and he read this scripture. Verse, it says in verse 17, let me make sure I read all this. Jesus said to her, stop cleaning me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers. Jesus never called his disciples brothers until now. Suddenly, we're his brother. We weren't just his students. We weren't just his followers like the originals were. We've now become brothers of Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's huge. We ain't got that one yet, right? Go say to my brothers, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. Your Father. My God and your God. Isn't that beautiful? Man, when that guy said that Sunday, I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. It's like something piercing me. I mean, because the first time in my life, I felt like I got a glimpse of God, of who he really was. I didn't know. I mean, I got up and went about my terrible business after that, tricking Becky. But there was something put in me that moment. There was something put in me that at the right time it started coming out. God began to water that and feed that over the years. And this thing happened inside of me, begin to know God really as my Father. You know, and I think if there's anything else that we get out of a resurrection, is that we have this Father. We have the same Father that Jesus had. And I've often said Jesus didn't come just to die for our sins and save us, but he came to reconnect humanity to God the Father and reconnect us into this family. That's really what he did. Restore what happened in the garden where man was separated from God. He came and says, I'm fixing the separation. And if you'll believe that I'm the one who can fix that and trust that, then you can be with the Father. You can have this. You can walk in this. Isn't that amazing? That's what the resurrection is all about, y'all. So, yes and amen.
Thank you for listening to a River Life Fellowship podcast. To get more information, check out riverlifefellowship.com.